Michael?
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I can hear it.
Yeah, that irrelevant. That doesn't mean anything. It's just way we hook it up so that people can hear that, also hear the show on the internet.
As well as
a broadcast. So I'm excited about this, and I'll ask you things like, you know, what did you think of your role? Because this is not the strong dad role anymore. This is a little, I wonder if you're feeling ancillary, as a lot of baby boom men do, including in marriages.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Okay.
So we'll talk about that, and you know what? How? Also, I think from I'm fascinated. You know, I have done a lot of TV and radio all my life, and so I'm just fascinated by these the short segments, and how you see them as a medium. So I hope we have a minute to talk to Amanda and yourself just about that. Okay.
Good, and I'm going to let her do a lot of the talking since she is the actual originator and chief writer of this show.
She is.
Yeah,
she
so
is.
I will defer a lot of this to Amanda.
Sure, but you know, certainly you have incredible name recognition. Everybody remembers you from so many roles, and I mean, I think it's basic
women. I'll always have something to say. Don't you worry.
I'm hearing noise in the background. Is that something going on your side? If not, I'm going to check it out.
Yes, I was just getting something out of a closet, but I will certainly be quiet.
Okay.
You know, when we're actually on.
Adrian, Amanda is on.
Hello, Amanda is on. Okay. Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi.
Hi there,
fine.
Amanda.
How are you? Hi, Michael.
Okay,
good. So Michael and Amanda, this is Stuart, the producer. So I just want to just let you know, please, if you can, only one talking at a time. I know it's hard to do to anticipate, but if both three of you are talking, it's garbled. So I just want to let you know if you could tech and do that. Okay, very good. So you guys can chat for a while. I'll come back on and let you know when we should go a minute of silence.
Great.
Thank you, Stuart.
Okay, so I'm going to make that easy for both of you because I'm going to direct questions to say Amanda, and you know, and so that's going to be important.
Okay.
Well, you already talked a little bit about just the role of men in all this, you know, before you got on, Amanda. But with you, we will start from scratch, which is
okay.
You know, why you thought this would play, because we do so much on our show. Which we call the ageism police, where we look at shows and we look at all kinds of themes in advertising and we blow the whistle on it. So
right. This
is one I'm going to introduce as one where we're not going to be blowing the whistle. We're going to give it a high rating because it's so close to the bone. And if you can't take it, you know, prepare. So I loved it. And I'm not going to tell you too much about what I'm going to say because I think it comes out better. But I will tell you this. For my 60th birthday, my gift to myself was a pole dancing class.
Perfect.
So I flew to Vegas. And the worst part of it was trying to show the pictures to my children who said, Mom, get that away from me. So that was, it did not play that well in the family. But it brought out the lap dancer in me. Anyway,
I love it.
So that was great. And there's plenty of other things that I want to discuss. Now, we have a couple of minutes between breaks. We'll talk about setting up each segment. And right now, I'm going to put the phone down for 1 second, and I'll be right back.
Amanda, you well?
I am, Michael. Are you?
Good, good. Just keeping busy the last couple of days with, you know, just press and stuff like that, and preparing for a trip to Croatia tomorrow.
Wow, are you filming there?
No, actually, it's a little bit of a holiday with my wife and myself.
Oh, well, that's fun. Do you have relatives?
No, we don't. She just wanted to see that part of the world. So off we go to Dubrovnik and places like that with stopovers in Rome and Venice coming and going. So, you know, it's going to be a full time. It's going to be great.
Well, I hope you post some pictures on Facebook so that we can all ride along.
I may. You know, I'm actually thinking of taking a... Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just telling you,
Adrian?
I'm on now. I am back. Okay. I didn't hear what you said. Great. Sophia said anything that you shouldn't hear. Don't worry about it. We should all be quiet for a minute. I do want to tell you that I've got the YouTube URL. I'll be saying it many times. And your PR person was great in giving me things that she also wanted me to ask about the Indiegogo and all that. Okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh. Great.
I will take care of it, and now we're all quiet.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age.
Hello, this is Adrian Bergen. Boy, are we going to be inappropriate for our age, or maybe very appropriate for our age on this particular show. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The only show that hits all the issues of aging, whether you want to face them or not, here we come. And also we celebrate aging. So this is a fantastic opportunity not to blow the ageism police whistle, which I do every single week, and give some tank rating to a piece of media. And that media could include anything from books to advertising to what's going on in the web to movies. Because we've got a really high-rated piece of media for you. Not only am I fascinated by it because of the subject matter, which is the life of the baby boomer, but also because of the delivery, how it is delivered. It's delivered through YouTube, and I keep telling you guys, get wired. You're going to miss three-quarters of life if you say things like, I don't know, I don't like the computer, I don't like Facebook. Forget about it. You've got to. All right. So the other thing you're going to be very delighted to hear today is who my guests are as they discuss this wonderful new piece of media delivery. And, of course, I'm talking about Amanda Serah, who originated the concept for carbon dating. And I'll tell you exactly how to watch that on YouTube in a few minutes. And Michael Gross, both fine actors that you know from so many different venues that I have a short show. I can't even tell you all the places they've been. But what I think is more important is, for the same as for us, where they're going with this. And carbon dating pokes fun at the funny aspects of our lives, but with a little bit of pathos, because anytime you tell the truth, and this is the fountain of truth, a little bit of pathos always comes out. So thank you, Amanda and Michael, for being on my show. I know how busy you guys are.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and I want to... It is. It's a great pleasure. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I do want to start with Amanda on this issue of fun. I mean, you know, we are getting older. We take ourselves seriously. We look in the mirror. We see our mother. We say, hi, Mom. And we wonder how that happened. But there's a lot of humor in this. And how did you actually have the guts to say, you know, I'm going to poke fun at something that a lot of people are taking a bit too seriously?
Well, I think that we all have shared experiences in this baby boomer generation, and we can either cry over them or laugh about them. And I choose to find the funny in things like failing eyesight and mild memory loss or graying hair, all those things, even interpersonal relationships of family and friends and romance, we all sort of understand that, and we can enjoy other people's misadventures in dealing with those subjects.
Yeah, I think you also tuned in on one thing that we rarely talk about, is how much we really laugh at ourselves. We're pretty good at that, this generation. I'm finding other generations take themselves a little bit more seriously than we do. You've got a kind of joie de vivre about it, and I think you tapped into it that we're all going to say, yeah, I laugh at that, and it happens to me all the time. That also helps you accept. I think that's a great one. Now, I did see the first episode,
And I had to, I laughed at each part of it, but it's constructed in a very interesting way. They're very short and lots of flashbacks and insights. But how did you decide on that construction?
Well, I thought when I first started putting the show together, I really admire Modern Family and how they kind of pull that little interview section out of their show. I kind of worked at it backwards, where I sort of start with the subject matter and then go into fantasy sequences and flashbacks. And it keeps the for the internet generation, people's attention spans have shortened. And if you don't catch them right away and keep them moving, it's so easy to click off. And so I thought, we've got to keep this moving fast. We've got to, you know, hit them with the humor. It's not slapstick necessarily. It's a fun, funny visual and our perspective of it. And I think that helps move the piece along so that people don't say, oh, I'm done with this, and go on to something else.
You know, I mean, it's like us. It's educated. I mean, we are the most educated generation in history. It's acerbic, and it's clever. So I want to bring Michael in. Michael Gross, who you all know from just about everything, wears a unibrow in the first and shows up for about 30 seconds. And I said before the show to Michael, I'm going to ask him, are you feeling a little ancillary? I mean, you're surrounded by strong women in this show. I can see that already. I don't know how it's progressing over the next episodes, but it's almost like a metaphor for baby boomer men. The women are out there starting their own businesses. They are traveling all over the world. They're doing their yoga. They're becoming spiritual, and the guys are still sitting by the television. What is that reflected in this in any way? And do you see it in your own life? I mean, despite the fact that you're a star.
You know, it's fun. To start with, I don't feel ancillary at all. I tell you why. It's a great time to be a man at this age, because so many women are out there looking for men at a certain age. So it's a great
time.
That is true.
That is true.
So it's a great time to be wanted. That is. So ancillary is not the word I think of. Yes, I'm surrounded by strong men. Strong women. What man doesn't want to be surrounded by women, strong or weak? So I thought this would be a funny thing to take on, because no, he's not the prominent figure in this. The women are carrying the load, if you will. But I thought, gee, what fun to kind of be a leading man at my age as well. A man in whom some of these women are taking interest. And I can tell you, too, I think, you know, there's a new – several people have mentioned this to me, because I've also done some action-adventure things, and including a film called Tremors, which is now in its fifth sequel. And somebody said to me, you're in this film with a shaved head. What is about you – and Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger, you 60-year-old guys are kicking ass. And
yeah.
I said, yes, we're not finished yet. These are older guys with experience, and so I think the men are very much holding their own amidst the women who are doing more. I think it's empowering for all of us that more than half the population is getting stronger and finding their feet in this crazy old world of ours.
Well, first of all, you're undeniably handsome, and one of the
that's very kind of you. It
is true, and nothing changes. You know, guys who are handsome in their 30s are handsome in their 60s, but we do have a very different view of the way men are supposed to look when they're older. We like the craggy lines, and the women are always, you know, using filler. So it's great. I think it's great to bring this baby boomer man image, which is very accepting. You're right. It's just very accepting of strong women, and maybe perhaps is in the catbird seat, because for one reason or another, there are just a lot more single women than there are single men around.
So, yeah, you're a lucky guy, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing more episodes with more of you in it, too, because you were just as brave an actor in a couple of seconds as I've seen in a long time when you took your glasses off, and there was the – yeah, that was pretty brave, I think. I like that.
Well, it's a great idea of Amanda's, I tell you. It's really so silly. And, you know, it's true. This was a very short segment in this first episode, but you'll see more as these women become acquainted with this character.
Yeah. So we only have about a minute before our next break, and I want to throw a couple of things out to the listening audience. First of all, you want to know where you're going to be able to see this series. You're probably going to get hooked, so write it down now. It is YouTube, so it's youtube.com/C/carbon dating series. And that's a funny name all by itself. We'll talk about how the name, I believe Amanda probably came up with that name. We'll ask her about it after the break. So it's youtube.com/C/carbon dating series. Now, of course, as always, we put this on our website. So you will be able to get a link to it on the website, and it's a very simple website, generationboldradio.com, generationboldradio.com. The name of the series is Carbon Dating. The first that I have seen on the short segment YouTube series dealing with the baby boomer in a funny way, in a sassy way. And, you know, if you remember Saturday Night Live and some of the Mike Myers segments, the Wayne segments, you'll understand a little bit about the format of what's going on here, and it's extremely charming. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about some of the themes that are going to come up and some of the things I hope
you may
will
think
come
that
up.
I'm full of it,
so don't you
but
go
that
anywhere.
Doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da da.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
So we're in a commercial now.
Michael said a couple of things that I maybe would be of interest to your listeners. You know, you were talking about him being, taking on these action kind of roles, and boomers are more active and aware than any previous generation, and we're living longer, we're starting new careers and new relationships, and so it's not surprising that, at least to me, that Michael and Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger would be doing these action figures, because they represent so much of our demographic.
Okay, I think that's a great point, and what I want to do is, when I come back, I'm going to ask you a question I'll talk to you about in a second, and then we'll go to Michael again, just on that one point, which I think is terrific. Okay?
Basically, we're refusing to act our age.
Right. Being very, that music comes from a small 10-minute musical that was written for our show. You can hear the whole thing on the radio, on our website, but it's really cute. There's Grandma, a lot of it comes in. What I wanted to ask you, Amanda, was, you know, you have a role there, and Marcy Barkin has a different kind of role, but I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but it seems to me that you're Rose to her Dorothy when it comes to the Golden Girls. I mean, did you ever think about that?
You know, when I wrote it, I didn't think about that, but you are not the first one that said that. What I did when I wrote it was I tried to keep our characters very close to actually who we are, and it makes the writing a lot more intrinsically honest, so we're not necessarily acting something that we aren't. We actually are these people. Like, I'm generally a kind of a happy-go-lucky person. I got a little bit of a sense of humor to me, and Marcy's a fighter. You know, so the two of us really have these different perspectives, and they're both valid.
Well, that's great, and I will ask that, and I'll ask you to, and you simply answer it that way, because I think we all have friends that are exactly like the two of you, and I think that's great. I mean, and then we'll go back to Michael on what I think is a really important point about active. And then I want to talk about more themes that you might be dealing with. In a second, I have to be quiet, but I'll give you a reveal. One of them is Women in Fashion. I'm completely lost. I don't know what I look like anymore. You know, I go to Chico's. I look like a couch. So anyway,
That's episode seven.
I'm not surprised. All right, I have to be quiet now, and then we'll talk in a minute.
Okay.
I think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
Hello. This is Adrienne Burke, and we are back. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, and I'm very, very proud of this. For those of you who don't know much about the show, we are in 32 states now and growing, and we started as a grant from the state of New Jersey. The great state of New Jersey said that the older adult, that's me, was an underserved population. So I decided to serve it. And I got the grant. And you know what happened? It got picked up for syndication. And that shows me one thing. You are ready for some content that has to be relevant to your life. And then this year we did win the National Mature Media Gold Award, which is great because it beat out a lot of other TV shows and even movies that had to do with aging, which seems to be popular. But one thing that's unique and brand new, and we're speaking with Amanda Serra and we're speaking with Michael Gross, two great stars that have decided to spend a few minutes with you on YouTube with a terrific series, short segment series called Carbon Dating. I will have the entire URL on our website, GenerationBoldRadio.com. Their website is CarbonDating.com. Don't forget to go there. But you can go to YouTube.com/C/CarbonDatingSeries and see an episode right away. So there's a lot of fun to be had with this Carbon Dating. However, when I saw the first episode, it struck me anyway, Amanda, that you were the rose to Marcy Barkin's Dorothy. Maybe the rest of us watching are all Blanche. I don't know. Maybe the third person in the room is Blanche. But you created this series. Did it come to you that way, or is it kind of a little subliminal? Or am I all wrong about it?
When I originated the concept and I started writing, I tried to keep our characters as close to who we were as possible. My character is very much like me. I'm kind of happy-go-lucky and sort of just dawdle, and whatever happens, great. Whereas Marcy's character, she's a fighter. And it's so interesting that they are like Rose and Dorothy. So that is a great comparison.
Yeah, you know, and I thoroughly enjoyed it because it was a reminiscence and something brand new at the same time, which is, honestly, that's what most of our lives are now, reminiscence of something brand new and fresh all at the same time. I want to switch over to Michael now. I'm speaking with Michael Gross, who plays the male star of Carbon Dating, and he is a star, and he mentioned that he is involved, and I'm not surprised, as an action hero, along with people like Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger and others. But, you know, the idea of being active, there's even an International Council of Active Aging, which we've had on our show. Michael, are you playing the role? Are you really also active in your own life? Why do you think your fans are so positive about the older male action?
Well, I suppose because many of us are all in denial about
right.
the aging process, and we hope to keep it that way for as long as possible. You know, all kidding aside, though, we are a pretty healthy generation. We learn to take care of ourselves, many of us, not all of us. It helps that I'm in California, where they have a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables. And,
yep. And the salads grow under the table. They're that fresh. When you sit down in a restaurant, your salad is yeah, I know. It's very fresh.
Absolutely. I go out and pick fruit from a tree for breakfast,
true,
which I absolutely adore. I come from a family where actually my parents were quite active, and for people from the Midwest that was kind of unusual. My dad rode his would leave his car in front of the house and take a bicycle to the food store if he only had to do a few things. He'd walk or bike for groceries well into his 80s. Until he started to have some balance issues, and for that I recommended him Tai Chi. You know, so there's ways to deal with all of these things, and I think for myself as a child of the '60s, I would like to stay. I still think like a child of the '60s, even though my body is aging, and so I'm trying to keep it that way as long as possible. I know it's fairly simple too to keep fit, quite frankly, because I take stairs instead of escalators when I'm in public places. I frequently will say to people when I'm checking into a hotel, "Can you put me on about the fourth floor?" I said, "Why? Don't you want a nice high view?" I said, "No, if I'm on the fourth floor, I'm more likely to take the stairs than take the elevator. I walk up four flights a couple times a day if I have to, but I won't do that if it's on the 15th floor." So I try and book exercise into my daily life, because I hate going to gyms, and I hate the time, changing clothes, going to lockers, smelly locker rooms, people using different machines, waiting in line. I hate it. So I try and build exercise into my normal routine. And that includes calisthenics and yoga in the morning and that sort of thing as well.
So, I mean, you're a great role model, and I think that possibly is also the reason why we like to see you as an action figure, because we say, well, you know, if he could do it, maybe we could do it, and that's a terrific, terrific thing. And talking about the role model side, going back to Amanda, it's a little bit like ping pong here when I have two great guests. Going back to Amanda, you know, we talk about what is going to be on the show to come. What can we look forward to? And one of the things I mentioned to you was our fashion crisis. I mean, we either need these great big black glasses and wear red and kind of look like we're in Mardi Gras now. That's one of the things for older adults. Or we just look like kids who don't fit into our clothes. So will we be dealing with fashion at some point in the show?
Oh, yes. That's episode 7, and the title is Fashion's Final Farewells. And it's how Madeline deals with her closet of younger clothes and how she's going to present herself as a serious woman and yet be stylish. So it's a fun episode, and there's a lot of fantasy sequences in there too.
I can imagine that, because one of the things that you two are exude, just sitting on the couch, folks, is sexuality. I mean, you are both sexy. The first episode has a few seconds there of pole dancing, which you came up with. Because we were all out there pole dancing at 65. But it seems to me that was a great metaphor for how sexy we feel inside and how awkward we still feel outside. Did you have fun doing that?
Oh, my gosh.
Were you actually
so
good at
much
it?
Fun.
Oh, well, you were good. Did you pick, that pink leotard? Who picked the pink leotard?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where on the couch, Madeline, the character of Marcy, thinks that she's going to go to a social dance class, and I think I'm going to be going to a ballet class. See, because in our fantasy world, I've done, you know, my mind's going to ballet and her mind is going to salsa. So we just sort of
end up in a pole dancing class.
We end up in a pole dancing class and we just go for it. And
I have to take a little bit of a break, but I want to remind everybody, I told you
I would whet your appetite. It's hard to do on radio, but boy, if you don't want to see Amanda Serra in a pink tutu pole dancing, then there's nothing I can offer you in entertainment that's worth seeing. So, YouTube.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, I got the word that I can talk to you now. So how
okay,
is it going?
Okay.
I just want to make sure, and I'll ask. Yeah, well, I watch, you know, we have a lot of authors on the show, and I stun them because I actually read the book. And then I say, on page 53, you said, and they say, oh, no, what would I say on page 53? So is this, yeah, so it's very easy for me to see a 9 you know, a 9-minute film, a 6-minute film, and remember every little thing. But I really loved it. I did.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, and
that's
you did touch upon something else, too. You said something about women or men get the craggy lines and women are looking at fillers. And we addressed that in episode 2. So next Tuesday.
We'll bring that up. And the other thing I wanted to, and I'm going to ask Michael this, because this is a tough one, so we have to think about. I know a lot about the statistics of aging. I mean, this is, I'm a big, as I say, I'm the cheerleader for successful aging. So half of all 60-year-olds have a living parent. And one of the groups that I belong to, Women at Woodstock, we're all in entertainment one way or another. One of the members has a blog, and it's called datelikeagrownup.com. And she said to me this weekend, she said to me this weekend, you know, Adrian, some of my coaching clients, women, the men they meet bring them home to their mothers. Now, think about, get your mind around this for a minute, Michael. I have no living parents at this time, but my mom did pass away when I was 60, though. It's true. I was like a statistic. Do you have are your parents alive? Are they around? Or have you lost them both?
You want to go ahead, Amanda?
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking Michael, because I'm just wondering,
okay.
Would you ever bring a girl home to meet your mother?
Unfortunately, I brought hundreds of girls home to meet my mother. So
I see.
It was one of those things. Now, I finally brought a girl home about 32 years ago who has stayed. And Mom was thrilled. Mom was finally thrilled that Sonny Boy was settling down. But both parents are gone now. I was close to my parents, so if my mother were still alive, of course she'd meet a woman. I wouldn't bring her home for approval.
Right.
You know, I'm
but
too old for that.
Up.
But I. Oh, of course. I'd want everybody in my family to meet, a person with whom I was in love.
Okay, great. So we're going to be, we're going to hear the music again, and we'll be on for a while. Again, I will start with Amanda, but I am going to ask you that because, as you said before, Michael, most of the people, the guys have their choice. There's a lot of women around looking for men our age, baby boom age. And many of those men have mothers. And I hear over and over again, he took me home to meet his mother. What a treat. Amanda, before we go back on, I do have to ask. It's carbon dating. Is every episode about women who are single now? Or are there any married women in the picture?
There are married women in the picture. The term carbon dating, it has a variety of meanings. I mean, one is that you carbon date things that are old, and we're getting old, and some people don't want to necessarily date themselves. And then also the relationship aspect of women our age. But we don't just stick onto dating and relationships and those sorts of things. We really run the gamut of aging. And
Fortunately, relationships can be funny, and so we try to mine as much as we can from dating and the problems that arise from that at our age. But I have to say that the term carbon dating came from a brainstorming session that I had with my daughters who are in their late 20s and or mid-20s. And, you know, we're sitting around at a coffee shop, and I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking about the title vintaged, like vintaged, only vintaged. And, and I'm like, it's not quite right. And my younger of the two daughters, she just kind of looked at me, and she said, carbon dating. And I went,
perfect,
genius. So I have to give her the credit. I have to give her the credit.
Off air, I could tell you that my daughter, who is a Tisch graduate, I don't know if you know Tisch in New York City. It's their performing arts, and she moved to L.A. She's now trying to write for television, which is quite a treat to have a daughter who had a great job in New York come to L.A., sleep on her brother's couch so that she could write for television. But that's another show. However, when I went to name this show, she also came up with Generation Bold as the topic, the title of the show. Because I'm a big cheerleader for it. And, you know, as you get old, you get bold. And I was also playing around with everything you could think of, successful aging. And she said, just call yourself Generation Bold. And we did, and it kind of worked. It was fun. So I'm going to again be quiet for a minute. I'll be back in 1 second. Thank you. And the reason I keep doing this is I'm just getting prompts, you know, from the producer, which you can't hear. I apologize. I'll be right back.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, I'm just going to be getting a, if you can do 12 minutes, what we want is, I don't know, is it possible for you to do that?
I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Are you good, Michael? Good.
Yes.
Right. Good. So we're going to hear a little different music. It's grandma's music. You'll know what I mean in a minute. What we're going to talk about is what we just discussed. And it's a little extra. This is just too great. So I want to do a little extra also for just our web archive, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Inappropriate.
What, Mom?
Why is it so hilarious when grandmas do anything other than watch Matlock? Every Adam Sandler movie has some grandma doing something young people do, and apparently it's the funniest thing ever.
Well,
what's
we have the funniest thing ever. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, and we are just having a ball here with Michael Gross. You all know him from everything. Now he is an action hero. And Amanda Sarah, who's done every kind of Broadway. You must have a great voice, Amanda, but she's also the creator and star of Carbon Dating. We've been talking about Carbon Dating. I want to get, by the way, Amanda, you have been on Broadway. It seems to me that singing and dancing is part of your life.
Well, singing and dancing is part of my life, and I unfortunately have not been in a Broadway show, though I've done large regional shows with Tony winners, Vicki Clark and Sutton Foster, in a great theater in Pittsburgh called Pittsburgh's CLO, and they bring in a lot of New York people, and I've had the pleasure of working with them.
You know, Pittsburgh happens to be a favorite city of mine for the arts, actually. It's got Carnegie Mellon, with one of the greatest theater curriculum in the country. But I do I do want to go back. We could talk about these things for a very long time. I want to go back to just the name of your series, which is Carbon Dating. And you told me a very cute story as to how that came up, how you came to that name.
Yes, I had been struggling with a title for our series, and I was in a brainstorming session with my two daughters. They're in their mid to late 20s, and I was like, what about vintage, like vintage? And it's just not quite right. And my younger of the two daughters, she just sort of looked at me and she said, carbon dating. And I was like, brilliant. Because it's still right on a variety of levels. It's carbon dating is something you use to determine how old something is, and many of us don't want to admit how old we are. And also it has that reference to interpersonal relationships.
It does.
Yeah, it's a great title, and I have to give all the credit to my daughter. Out of the mouth,
you know,
babes.
It is very clever, and I think one of the other things about baby boomers is we do respect our kids. We respect our kids a lot. Our kids are very smart, mostly because we paid a ton of money to make that happen. But the fact is that they are very educated, very smart, and we like to be with it, so we listen to them. Before I jump over to Michael for a completely different question, you did mention money. It's only one word in the entire first segment, but you do say, I don't want men to think I have money and mislead them. Will there be any segments that deal with money? And what take do you have on that?
That actually is going to be introduced in season two. I've sort of been in, I've got some skeletal layouts of the season, and it's going to be about competition and what makes us look good to other people.
Right.
And finances are one of them, because it's important to a baby boomer about their retirement. And so we want to put a little fun, quirky spin on it.
Yeah. You know, I come from that world originally. Most of my shows were financial shows, and most of my books are financial. And there's so many names for it. There's retirement, no more retirement, 60 is the new 30, and it's really not, and all that sort of thing. But money is a big issue, as is inheritance. And now I'm going to use that, you see what I did there, as a bridge to parents, older parents, and Michael. We talked, Michael, for a few minutes. Half of all 60-year-olds have a living parent. I think that's astonishing. Even to people who are 60 and have a parent, they think they're alone in this. But those parents are in their 80s and 90s, and I've actually had a friend of mine who runs something called Dating for Grownups, tell me that on a second or third date, the 60-year-old is brought to meet mom. And I asked you, would you ever do that, Michael? I know you're married, but would you date and would you bring the girl to mom?
Well, if I were... I would be too old. I'm too old to bring a girl home to mom for approval. It's none of mom's business at that point. But if we were close, yes, I would introduce someone to family, whoever that family was, sisters, brothers, cousins, mother if she were still alive. But I'm way beyond asking for mom's approval in cases like that.
So I'm going to turn the tables on you. Let's take your character in Carbon Dating. And he meets a girl, and she's in her 50s or whatever, and you are you, and she brings you home to her mom. Do you think you would personally play it awkward like you would have done when you were a teenager? or do you think you would treat it a little differently?
I would charm the bloomers off of her.
Okay. Easily done and said by you.
you learn that. You know, I mean, this is pure guy stuff, but I think if you find an older woman like that, flattery acceptance and charm is always the best way to go about it, as it is with younger women and younger men and older men, with most people, frankly. A little honey rather than vinegar.
Interesting. And, you know, we go back to Amanda with this. We talked about fashion. You're going to be having money as an issue. Of course, you have dating and relationships goes through the entire thing. But one of the things we really can't, pass by is that we're pretty vain. And looks are important. How are you dealing with that one? Are you taking a stand for or against fixing your face, or is that something that you is like the third rail of aging that you don't want to touch?
Well, it's interesting because my character Amelia and Marcy's character Madeline have completely different viewpoints on this. And episode 2 deals a lot about how should we do something, or should we just let nature take its course, and what the repercussions of that might be. And then
fascinating.
That also goes through other episodes like hair. Do we dye our hair,
yes,
or do we leave it natural? I mean, there's a whole episode 4 on dealing with aging hair. So we try to bring each of our perspectives into our vanity.
And it's very, it's delightful because, as I said off air, we all either are one of the two main characters or our best friend is one of the two main characters. That's absolutely true. And we're going to finish up with Michael and hair for a minute. In our little jingle that was written for us by a man, by the way, he says, "When I look in the mirror, I have hair on my head and not on my shoulders. And I know that I am forever running with a small scissor, running after my husband because of his ears and his nose. I married him for his hair, but I didn't know where it was going to end up growing after 43 years. I thought it was going to stay on his head, but it's everywhere. Now, all you guys, you action heroes, you shave your heads now. Is that like the new way of saying, you know, my hair is in the right place? Or I don't know.
That's interesting. You know, I think as many of us are losing our hair, we might as well lose it completely. As a matter of fact, when I appeared on the set last year for an action show. This is something called Tremors 5, Bloodlines.
Yes.
The first thing the director said was, "You've got to shave your hair. You've got to shave your head. You've had hair in all these other sequels, but it's the look now. You've got to." And I went, "Well, I don't know. It's not that I was afraid of doing it because I've done it in the past, but I was trying to think. Well, is it a continuity thing? Should we mess with the continuity because this is the way it's been known? It works fine. It works.
You may think that's all of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age."
And I want to thank you. Hi, we're back. Everything is great.
Hi. Yes, hi.
So we did really, really well on this one. I loved it. And we're going to just use, I think, every word. I don't think we're going to need to do any editing. Oh, the producer just walked in. He wants to know if you want to do another segment. I was afraid to say yes to him because I really don't know how much time you guys have. How long would that segment be for?
I've
Eight
probably
minutes.
Got about 10 minutes.
Okay,
I have 10 minutes.
Okay. So he says, just fact, you know, we should be quiet. He's doing it right now. That's it.
Okay, good.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg.
For my age. Da, 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 da.
And we haven't grown up a bit since a few seconds ago. We are still inappropriate for our age. I'm here with Michael Gross, television star, and now YouTube star. Movie star Amanda Serra, been in everything, including live theater, my absolute favorite. But with a new, very creative short segment YouTube series called Carbon Dating that really, I know, gets to the bone. We've been talking about some of the issues that are very, very funny, very entertaining, very cutting, very knowing, but really do reflect almost like a little microcosm of all the things that we talk about on this show, on Generation Bold, and it is bold. I could tell right away, even from the first episode, it's extremely sassy. But I want to go and talk to Amanda about something that we did not discuss at all during our breaks and talks together, and that is political correctness and ageism. You know, we really do have a prejudice against ourselves. And we all seem to be ageist in ways that we would never be about gender or race or religion. But it's okay to make every kind of silly joke about losing your memory or your keys or all that, and you know, senior moment stuff. What do you deal with it in writing this? Did you ever say to yourself, "Is that the right thing to say?" Did you ever censor yourself or feel that way?
I don't, because I feel like some of the best comedy comes from incorrectness, and I just feel like if you censor yourself, the humor leaves, and so I just write what I think is funny, and hope that other people have similar sensibilities. And I never mean to, like, offend people, because it's all so personal. And if somebody finds that the same thing's happening to them, that hopefully they will see the humor in it as well.
Now, the other part of it, though, is ageism. I mean, you're certainly in one of the most, you know, public professions in the world. You are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michael talked a little bit about these handsome guys like himself, shaving their head, being an action hero in Tremors, hanging out, thinking about Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger. And we always hear Sally Field telling us women can't get work after a certain age. Is that changing at all? Is it still true? What's the story?
It's very interesting, because when I was in New York, I was trying to find a different agent, and I had a meeting with a particular agent, and he said to me, he said, "Look, if you haven't made it by now, you're not going to." I thought, wait a minute, I've just been in New York for a couple of weeks, what? You know, so
yeah.
So
right.
You do get that attitude, and I as a woman who is, because I was in Pittsburgh, it's a small market, and I went to New York, and I had some successes there, and then came out to L.A., and so I'm new now to L.A., and I find that a lot of people will say, "Well, you know, why would we cast you if we've got Blythe Danner?" You know, I'm like,
right.
I see your point, you know, but the thing is that there's an actress, she's passed away now, her name's was Catherine Justin, and she left Chicago at the age of 55 and came to L.A., and she became a double Emmy winner for West Wing and Desperate Housewives, and she started at a late age. Why, if not her, why not me? But, I mean, that's kind of the way I looked at it. I'm like, well, you know, I'm still alive and active, and I feel
right.
Like I've got a lot of decades in front of me to do something. And I hope other baby boomers feel that too.
I think that they do, and I think that they're looking for the next stage. You know, everything is the next stage in life and the next life purpose, and that's what makes things interesting. I always people always ask me, how do you stay young? And the answer is, live a life of firsts. If after all, if you don't know what you're doing, how old can you be? If you're starting everything new, it really, really does work. And I'm really glad to see that that's the case. And I have suspected, Michael, that it's a little bit easier for guys when it comes to any almost any profession and being a little bit older. But maybe I'm not right about that. Do you feel ever discriminated against in your roles?
You know, it's funny what you said about why would we take man to say, why would we take you if we get a Blythe Danner? I've worked with Blythe. I know Blythe. She's great. But men get the same thing. Take you if we can get Sam Waterston, you know, who's been nominated for Academy Award, or this person or that person. So that has a lot to do with it. That's just about the pecking order in Hollywood that has nothing to do with sexism. And I applaud Amanda for doing what everybody should do, and that is to self-generate. She's not sitting around saying, woe is me, Blythe Danner is getting the job first. She's writing a web series. And so she's taking the bull by the horns, and I think at any age, that's an important thing to begin to generate your own work and your own excitement. You have control over your creativity. You do not often have control over something as elusive as stardom.
Yeah. You know, that is true, and I love Blythe's, you know, show. We give the ages and police, so we watch everything. But I think that the only reason that people would ever say that is there are not enough roles. You know, if there were more roles, everybody would be looking for a person of a certain age with great talent, great presence, like you have and Michael has and Marcy has. So that's great. I will have to tell you, though, don't do the news. I actually did win an Emmy for my financial news, and then I became the older Bond. So now I'm on radio. But anyway, I love radio, and I have to tell you that it goes into a lot of homes. And I want to translate that for all the people listening to get off the radio, get onto YouTube. Before we leave, both Amanda and Michael have been very generous with their time for me. Please go to youtube.com/C/carbon dating series. You could also go, they're doing a great Indiegogo campaign for fundraising, and we know we have some well-heeled listeners because I know from the questions you asked me about money. Go to Indiegogo, take a look and see what they're doing there. They have a lot of snippets.
Inappropriate for our age.
I thank you. I know you both have to run.
Well, thank you
very much.
It's been a pleasure. And Amanda, nice to chat with you as well again.
Well, likewise, Michael. And thank you, Adrian.
That's wonderful. Thank you very, very much. And take care. And I'm just going to look at every single episode. And we'll send Marla all the information right on where it's airing and how it's airing and everything on the web, whatever she'd want to know about social media. Okay?
Great. And if we want to post it on Facebook, are we free to do that once it airs?
Please. I love that. I mean, you know, that's how people find my show also, how it grew, because we've had wonderful guests. And that's
great.
And we need the money because my daughter wants to write for television, so she'll be a waitress. So I'll have to. Yeah. I mean, the Tisch School motto is, I am in the theater and I am your waiter. So that's that one. It is. It's true, and it's the most expensive school in America right now. So I'm just going to shoot myself. But take care, and thank you so much for being on with me.
Thanks. It's an absolute pleasure. Bye-bye.
Right, bye. Bye-bye.
Right.